meant to be here. It's very quiet. They don't say much, do they? You're welcome to talk back and question, I don't mind at all. But it's great to be here today. Why? What a great looking building. Isn't it exciting to see all this? And out there, isn't that amazing? Your nice new kitchen and everything. And it's all the toilets and everything done in the rooms. I mean, in here, looking nice new carpet. It's great, isn't it? You've all been busy.
Yes.
Who's cleaning it all the time? Who does all that? Was it just lots of people? Anyway, it's great to be here. And hello. Hi, they're waving back. Does Steve normally do that to you?
Yeah.
He does. Oh, that's all right. Then just checking. And someone who doesn't want the camera on, say hello to you as well, but it's fine. Anyway, it's great to be here. And I've known Steve for a long, long time. And yet, it's amazing we're still friends. But sorry, Steve, not true. That's a bit harsh. But now you're married to Erica, we've got someone nice to talk. No, I'm joking. I've known Steve for quite a few years, and since Bible college, isn't it, really? And it's great, and we followed them around, and we've been around, but we're not really stalking them. We are going to the Isle of Wight, so I think for them it's quite a blessing that there's water in between, so we can't be too close to them. I think they're making sure with that distance. But anyway, we love Steve and Erica, and what a great blessing they are for Hannah, Noel and Samuel, and a blessing they are to this church. And it's really exciting to be here. But anyway, I want to talk to you today about something. It's a bit of a pet hate of mine. Computers that crash. Has anyone ever been working on a computer and it just goes unexpected error? And it just closes down, and you're like, no, what do I do? And you're there in the middle of it, and you're looking at it. And do you know what? Most churches had that issue in lockdown. The live stream was just about to go, the Zoom was on, and then it decided to close down. And then something crashed. And I was thinking, and I was talking about this, and I shared something similar in our church when I was in Stafford. Not the same one I'm going to talk about today, but it was something similar to do with things that crash. And it reminded me a tiny bit of COVID. Did you know everything was going along normally? Everything was going finely, and it was a bit like the country crashed. It was a bit like a virus. Well, it was a virus. Unfortunately, this one was a real one rather than a computer one, and it caused everything to stumble. It caused everything to close down, and gradually things started closing one by one. In our church, I don't know what it was like here, but we suddenly thought, oh, this virus, let's not do any food. One week we're cut off this, and the next thing, oh, this virus has got bad, you know what, let's not do a toddler group, we better keep that. And then the next thing we know, we can't even have Sunday services. Everything changed from our normal to a complete crash. So everything started, and then what happened? We had a situation where what does it happen when we have to restart everything? And that's what I want to look at today, is about how do we restart? How do we give something a kickstart? Well, last year we were running a camping weekend, and we worked out it was a way that we were allowed to get people together within the rules that was safe, and we were spread out in a field, and we had this outside event, and my laptop was there, everything was about to go, and I switched on the computer. And it says Windows is updating. In a field, how on earth was it doing an update in the middle of a field, in the middle of nowhere? I thought, it can't be updating now, please, no. And you know, you see this little thing that just spins.
Yeah.
And you think, well, it's going to be moving in a minute. And you're there, and the time is getting closer and closer and closer to the service start. And I was thinking, oh no. And literally, about a minute before, it reloaded. Hallelujah, and everything was reset. And do you know what was amazing? Everything worked better. Everything actually worked faster. The things that were causing the problems seemed to be fixed. So this update fixes. So now is the time where churches are realizing they're coming out of one crazy time and they're going into a different situation. And one of the things that churches are finding right across the UK are things are different before than they are after. Sometimes it can be personnel. Sometimes it can be different groups. Sometimes it can be different things that are happening. It might even be the way you're sat. Even now, we're still sat saying, I don't want to sit too close to people. But the fact is, we're still used to that. Our mindset is in a different way. And today, I want to look at how do we get back to it? What is it? So first of all, reset. What other words are similar to reset? Reboot, restart. Any other re's? Recreate, restore, revive. Can you think of any?
Renovate.
Yeah.
Revitalize.
Oh, Steve, that's a good one.
Renewal.
Renewal. Yeah.
Reinvigorate.
Yes. Rejuvenate. Recalibrate. All these words are words that are looking at what the churches across are doing. So how do we look at that biblically? How do we say, where do we get our biblical reference of how we reset? So, if you've got your Bibles, I'm really bad, I haven't got mine, I've only got a digital Bible, because I was only meant to be in temporary accommodation for a couple of weeks. I've got my digital Bible, and then we've been in temporary accommodation now for 8 weeks. So we should be moving this coming Friday. So please pray, because we need to be in our house. We're meant to be inducted into the church next Sunday. So we're looking forward to that. So if you can pray for that, it'd be great. But anyway, we're going to turn to John 4, 23 and 24. Very short, but it's something I want to look at, because it's something that actually shows a time when Jesus was explaining that a time of reset was coming. A time of refreshing, a time of reset, a time of doing things slightly different than they used to. So if you go, John 4, 23, 24. But the hour is coming and is here now when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Okay, Jesus was talking here about a massive change for their mindset. Have you ever been told you've just got to think about it differently? Has anyone ever said that? I mean, I remember in school, and the school teacher used to say to me, oh, just think of it slightly differently. You're there trying to get out of your normal frame of mind. Well, I'm thinking of it like this. No, you've got to look at it differently. Like, how do I look at it differently? And Jesus was saying things are going to be very different. They were so used to worshipping in a temple. The Jewish people were used to worshipping on a certain day, at a certain period of time, with a certain group of people, in a certain place. And Jesus was saying, you know, this is all going to change. And here he was talking to the Samaritan woman, and was explaining that all Jews and all Samaritans' thoughts and the way they worshipped everything would be changed. There would be a complete reset in the whole mindset. Everything was going to change. And sure enough, everything did change. When people were worshipping then, people could worship wherever. You don't have to be in the right building. You don't have to be at the place. You can be sat in your lounge watching on Zoom, and you can still be worshipping with us, and you're still enjoying it. It's the same thing. You can still be doing it. Although I must recommend, if you can get here, it's really nice. I've seen the biscuits they've got. But anyway, the fact is that we can be worshipping here together. We can be doing this together because it's different. And the fact is, worship was not only at the temple or certain times. It was a matter of heart. Worship was about the heart. And you know what? When we come to worship in it, it's about the heart. And we may think, well, we always knew that. That's correct. But it's not just about the worship in the heart. It's about the things we're doing for Jesus. It's the way we serve him. It's the way we do it. I mean, I'm personally going to put my hand up to this. I felt a bit nervous going into groups of people. I don't know if anyone else has felt that. You think, that supermarket looks rather busy. I'm not used to that. I remember the first time I went to somewhere where there was a crowd of people. I was just like, oh my goodness, are they crazy? I can't go near those people. Our mindset was in a place where actually we were struggling. And we've almost got to come out of that and break free of that. We've almost had something in our minds for so long that we're scared. And it might be, you know, we need help in church to do this event we're doing. Oh, you know what, there might be people there. You know what, it's quite difficult. We've still got to serve God. I'd love to get the toddler group doing. Oh, I'm not sure about that. Oh, the youth. Oh, it's difficult. But you know what? We're going to have to take a step. At some point, we're going to have to say, you know what? I'm going to go for this. I'm going to get stuck back in. I want to get my hands dirty. I want to get going. It's been reset. We're rebooted. And we see this. So to the individual, we see how this changed. You see, it wasn't just Jesus talking to this lady saying things had changed. It wasn't just the way Jesus was talking to the individual. He was talking to his disciples as well, because in Matthew 4, 18 to 20, it says, while Jesus was walking by the Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who he called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting the net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. I mean, fishing was all they knew. You can imagine, you're doing your job, and this guy comes along and says to you, you know what, forget that, you've got to come and follow me. And said, yeah, yeah, but I'm just doing my job. No, no, don't worry about fishing, leave that, come and follow me instead. You can imagine these poor disciples thinking, well, hang on, but who is this guy? What is it? But there was something about Jesus that they knew they needed to follow him. There was something that when he said, follow me, they dropped what they had and they followed him. They knew there was something special. The Holy Spirit must have spoken in their lives and showed them that something special was there. See, this was a complete shift. You see, Jesus had taken away the very basis of Peter and Andrew's life. And he did the same with James and John. He then did the same with Matthew. The very basis that they thought everything was important was changed. They had a system restore, a reset. Beep! Everything was different. You see, the best thing about being a church minister, one of the best things I like, is two things actually, is weddings and baptisms. I don't know, would you go with that, Steve? And there's something you don't like doing, and that's always difficult, but we have to do those times. But the fact is that I love doing weddings, and I love doing baptisms. And last year, we were really blessed. Like I said, we had a weekend away in a field, and we took a hot tub, and we put the hot tub outside the marquee, and we had a baptism in a field, in the marquee, and the people that got on the water, it was 38 degrees. In there, and they were like, oh, it's like a baptism, it's like a proper hot tub. And normally when you get in a baptismal pool, they're always cold. Even in a church, I don't know if it's the same here, they always seem cold. You're like, why are they always cold? But anyway, this one was so lovely, and we had a lovely couple. They'd just become Christians, named Darren and Mel, and they were lovely, lovely couples, and they'd become Christians, and they were desperate to get baptized. And there they were in the middle of this field, in this hot tub. They shared their testimony, they shared what God had done. And the miracle was that one of the couple would not come in front of people, did not want to see people, was shy, was scared stiff, did not want to be in front of people. Came to the front, stood there, we prayed with them, they confessed their faith in Jesus and went in the water, down and up. In an amazing place. There was a total reset in their life. God had done something in, out. The actual water didn't do anything, apart from bubble. But no, we didn't put the bubbles on, it's okay. But the fact is, the water was in. And the water didn't physically do anything, but spiritually there was a change in their life. There was a change that happened when they went in and out. You say, well, it was just an image. Yeah, it was. But God used that time to reset something in their life. God used that time. And he uses different times in different people's lives. This lady stood there in front of everyone. I mean, it was amazing just to see that. But the baptism is a sign of in the water of the old, out the new creation, like a huge reset. See, maybe you're here today, or maybe you've not actually made that decision for yourself, or maybe you're watching and you think, well, actually, I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Saviour. I've never had that massive reset. The fact is that he wants you to do that. He wants you to give everything to him. He will take your sin, he'll take your bad stuff, he'll take it all away, and he'll reset it. It's like starting from you. It's like the computer's been reset, and all the muck and all the rubbish that was on there that was causing you problems, all the backup files, all the things that were there, all the things that were in your memory have gone. Jesus took it away. And when it starts, it's fresh, it's new, it's ready to go. And it's amazing how Jesus can come in and do that. You see, one of the things is we're all born into that bad stuff we do. We're all born into that sin. We're all born naturally selfish. We're all born in that, and then Jesus can take that away. And you see, as we grow to be like Jesus, we need to be more like him. You see, how do we change? You see, as children, we have a toy. We saw amazing children this morning, didn't we? And they had toys in their hand. And it's amazing, children actually share their toys, don't they? Naturally, no, funny that, isn't it? They don't. It's their toy, it's my toy, and I'm not sharing it. and you have to teach them. No, you share it with your friend.
No, but it's mine.
No, no, you've got to give it to them. Yeah, but it's mine. Yeah, yeah, I know it's yours. Yeah, but I want his. Yeah, well, you can't have his if you're not sharing yours. You've got to share and you're there teaching. Of course, adults, we never do this. We never sat at a dinner table and there's a cake and we think, please, no one have that one. I like the look of that chocolate one. I've been waiting for that. Or when we queue for the drink, you know, the Bourbon biscuit. Anyone else a Bourbon fan? Custard cream? Digestive? Yeah. You know, when you look and you see there's like three biscuits and you count how many people in front of you. We never do that, do we? We never think, oh, if I do this. We actually do, naturally. You know, when a barbecue's cooking, you think, oh, that piece of steak, that looks amazing. And then someone takes it. No, we never do that, ever. In fact, of course we do, we're natural. That's what we do in our hearts, and it happens. We have to put that right, and we have to do that. But the fact is that when we want to grow like Jesus, we have to be like him. And I've seen this quote, and I can't remember where it comes from, and I'm going to steal it, but it said, Christ's likeness is not produced by imitation, but by inhabitation. So being like Jesus doesn't help by us trying to copy him. Because when you try and copy Jesus, you can't do it on your own. The only way you can be like him is by the Holy Spirit being in us. So it's the Holy Spirit living in us that helps us to be like Jesus. So when we do have issues, when we have things that we need to be reset, when we have things that we need to be put right in our lives, we need the Holy Spirit living in us. And in Galatians 5, 22 to 25, we all know, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things there is no law. But those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified. The sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, this is fascinating, and I know this, you know this, you've probably heard this thousands of times before. But when we talk about gifts of the Spirit, we talk about plural. It's gifts. But when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's singular. So fruit is one. So I always used to think, well, how could it be the fruit of the Spirit, then list all these? Surely they're fruits. And no, they're not. It's fruit, because these are not optional to have one or two and not the others. So you can't say, well, I'm amazing at self-control. I'm fantastic at this, but I've got no patience. Can't be like that. Or you can't be like, well, I'm faithful, I'm gentle, but I'm not very kind. It doesn't work like that. You can't do that. I mean, my dad once said, Ben, you must have so much self-control. I said, why? He says, well, you've not used any yet. I went, thanks for that, Dad. Appreciate that. That's just a nice thing that he did as a child. I thought, great, how to encourage your children. Now, he was only joking. But the fact is that these fruit, this fruit is altogether. And the more we have the Holy Spirit living in us, the more we say, Holy Spirit, come in me, dwell in me, the more that reset starts happening in life. The more we get refreshed, the more those little bits of niggly bits, that old app that you never use gets deleted out. Just, you know, that one that doesn't make sense anymore. See, the Holy Spirit living in us helps us. You see, you can tell when a Christian is maturing because they start to grow more like Jesus. And you can tell when someone is struggling because the fruit isn't showing. Prayer, Bible studies, God's word, meeting regularly with other Christians, being accountable to someone, making sure you put yourself accountable to your pastors and elders and leaders. Make sure that you know that if something's going wrong, that you share with them. I mean, as a minister, I can just say, I get so frustrated because you're there talking and someone says, this has happened. Like, when did it start? About 3 weeks ago. Why didn't you tell me there's a problem? And you suddenly find, I could have come and helped, I could have shared, I could have done something. Or you find out a year later that someone's been going through something, an illness, you think, and then they say, well, no one's been praying with me. Well, nobody knew. And sometimes you've really got to share, you've got to put yourself accountable. It can be hard, because sometimes you think, oh, I don't want anyone to know, I don't want them to know this. But you know what? We need to be accountable, at least to somebody. We need to make sure we do that. But you see, it might affect the individual, like we said, when you're baptized, when the apostles became followers of Jesus, when all these things happened, it affected them, but it also affects those around us. So we think about Matthew. I always love Matthew because I imagine him sat there in this big tax collector thing and they're all queuing up and he's got piles of money. You know, like you see on the Passion film and things like that, you see piles of money everywhere and he's weighing bags and all those things. And all of a sudden he's going to say, leave that, come on. But wait a minute, and you can imagine the people, well, hang on, I've come to pay my taxes. You can't just leave. You can't see. But I always find this fascinating. In Matthew 9:9-13, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. Done. How simple. Well, was it simple? Like I said, you can imagine all those people waiting for him. Well, hang on. But then it says, but this is what's fascinating. And as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came where he was reclining with Jesus and his disciples. So you suddenly see Matthew and Jesus, all these other people that would never have gone anywhere near Jesus started coming to Jesus because he was there. And we suddenly realise, when we get saved, we have people around us. I mean, I can pretty much guarantee that you've all got different friends than each other. If I was to say, name me someone who is a friend, if I say now, call out their name, I've got a feeling they might be a different name. I don't think you're all going to say, my best mate is Jim. Has anyone got a best mate called Jim? Just check it in. I can use Jim. Anyone on there? No, you haven't got a best mate called Jim? No, they haven't either. That's fine. But you say Jim, my best mate Jim, and then you could all have a best mate Jim. Well, that's different. They're all different because we've got a different group of friends. And here, Matthew had a different group of friends than Peter. Peter and Andrew may have had similar friends. Yeah, might have done. You never know. You see the way it works. But, you know, James and John might have had similar friends, but they would have still had different friends. And we've got different groups that we reach to. So the fact is, as we grow as a Christian, as we start to witness, we reach different people. So as we grow, as we're reset, as we're refreshed, we reach out far more than this. I was talking to a minister the other day, and I was sharing with them, they were talking about the fact that actually they thought, I need to go and meet in the gym so I can meet lots of people. Gym? That word gym again, this one's not a friend. But anyway, the fact is that when you look at this thing, you see people. But as a minister, you reach an input into people's lives, just as you can input into people's lives. By you sharing your faith with 20 people, it means that they will be able to share their faith with more people. And it just spreads. Isn't that just amazing how you see that happen? And we'll see that when someone changes their life because of Jesus, they then have an effect on others, just as Matthew had an effect on those around him. You see, what we know is when we react to what God is doing in our lives, when something is reset, it does affect the way we're around us. You see, one of the things that we'll also see change at the moment, and this is quite important, is the church. The church across the world, not just the UK, has had a massive reset. Here in England, we couldn't meet together, then we could meet together, we couldn't sing. Then we could sing, but we had to have a mask, and we didn't have a mask, and we could sing, and then it just cancelled a lot anyway. So there was loads of things happening. We didn't know what was happening. We were very confused from week to week. We were waiting for the news. What can we do? What can't we do? Can we do more? Can we do less? But this was something we were dealing with, and churches are still dealing with this now. There's still questions. Should we be doing this? Should we be not doing it? Should we have a buffet? Are we allowed to share food? Are we not allowed to share food? Are we? And all these things come in your mind, and are we allowed? And the fact is that we need to be trusting God in it and stepping forward and doing some things and moving forward, and actually we need to do this. But the fact is, we've got to make sure we keep meeting together. Because there's lots of churches that still aren't back together properly. They're not meeting. But what does it say in Hebrews 10:23-25? Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he has promised his faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, for all the more as you see the day approaching. I mean, you're meeting at home, and that's fine. You can still be with us. It's not like you just switched it off. Unless you're watching EastEnders repeat at the same time on the TV, which I don't think you are. No, they're not. That's okay. The fact is that we're here together. We're meeting together. It's nice to be together here, but we're spurring on one another. We're encouraging each other. But if we don't do that meeting together, we end up not doing that. Just as Matthew encouraged others, being as a church, we need to spur and equip and to train. You see, when the computer restarts, we have to put the switch on. See, sometimes we look at it. Have you ever done a phone restore and a new app appears? What's that app? What does that do? One appeared on my phone once called Steps. But what steps? And then it looked at it and said, this is how much steps you're doing each day. This shows how energetic you are. I thought, don't think I'll use that one. But the fact is, this app turned up and I was like, this is great. But actually, I've been using it a lot. I found out I've walked 7 miles one day. My feet were killing. And another day, I realised I only walked a mile. I felt really lazy. I thought, oh, I didn't do very much today. But the fact is that some apps are good, some apps are bad. Some apps are useless. So when we moved house from one house to another, we had a British Gas app in our old house that would link to the meter. It told us how much energy we're using in electric. That's something we don't want to be seeing at the moment because it's scary as anything. But the fact is that we had this app, and then I moved house and we didn't have British Gas. And the app didn't work. It was a useless app. Before, I loved the app, but then it was useless. I thought, well, that's a ridiculous thing. And then I had to download another app because this app fitted the new system. I was with another company, I can't remember what it was called, but I had to download their app and delete the old one. And you know what? That was after things had changed. We moved house, there's a big difference. After COVID, there are some things that won't work anymore. I mean, if you had a group where everyone hugs each other, that's a group that probably wouldn't be very successful at the moment. You know, it's like, well, okay, we'll shake hands from a distance, we'll arm bump, we'll do this. But the fact is that there are some things now that won't work that used to. And there's also some things now that would need to work that we didn't used to. I know the thing on your chairs that Steve's been sharing, the open door dropping, that's something you think, well, why did we need that before? Well, now it's something where people haven't got community, they're not in there. So the fact is that you're going to see things that you need to start and do that we couldn't do before, or that you thought, why on earth would you need to do that? I mean, some children have been taught how to be friends with people. You think, surely children don't need that. Well, they did. They were nearly a year out of school. They didn't know how to be friends. They didn't know how to react. They were definitely not sharing toys when they went back to school. Get off, it's mine. And then to make it worse, they weren't allowed to share because they would have to keep it themselves. So even now, they're just getting into having and how to be children, how to play in the playground, how to do it. And we as a church are going to have to embrace that and say, look, actually, you know what? Let's do that. Let's say, what is it we can do? What can I do? I mean, I had a great thing saved on my phone for ordering spare parts for my car. It was amazing. I had a Toyota car. I'd press this. If I wanted a tire, I knew where to get it. If I wanted this, I did that. I haven't got the car anymore. What's the use of that? It doesn't work, does it? But the fact is, some things will change. And you see, and COVID hasn't been completely negative. It's been pretty horrible. It's been pretty pants. But the fact is, it hasn't been... Some things have changed in our hearts. Some things have realised, Christians have realised they need to step up. And you know what? I think we all are going to. I think we're going to realise that actually we need to move forward. Anyone feeling tired, fatigued, worn out, exhausted, can't be bothered? That's what we can feel like after a major, major situation. And we look on the news and see what's happening in Ukraine and our hearts cry and heart bleeds and we pray, Lord, what's going on? We seem to have gone from one crisis to another. And we pray, but we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and indwell in us. And he fills us with power, gives us words, and we can use words of knowledge, words of wisdom. The power fills us. And we see God do amazing stuff. But we need to make sure he's in there. It's inhabitation, not imitation. We can't copy Jesus. We have to have him living in us. You see, has anyone ever had a computer that's got stuck in the middle of reset, coming to an end now? I had a computer, and it was at church, in our old church, and it was just stuck on reset. It wouldn't do anything. I said, surely, come back an hour later, it was still there. And it was stuck. And he thought, I need help. And you know what? If we're stuck on this reset, we need help. And I called someone I knew, an old school friend who was an expert, and he got online and he managed to tell me what to do and he fixed it. It was amazing. He got it working and everything worked. And then it was brilliant. But I needed the help. And sometimes we need to ask for help. Sometimes we might be struggling with things. We say, look, Pastor Steve, I need help on this. Maybe give Eric a call, one of the elders, or someone will say, I need some help here. And there's nothing wrong with that. We haven't failed because we needed that. I didn't sit there in tears and go, I'm a rubbish computer operator because it won't reset. Nothing to do with me, that wasn't. I needed help. And sometimes there's things in our life we need to say, come on then. It might be asking a friend. It might just be getting to our knees and saying, Jesus, I need you. more than ever. But it's having someone with you at that time. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We need to be meeting, sharing, being there. We need to be reset. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are our Lord and Saviour. Lord, we thank you that actually we're not computers. Lord, we thank you that we're not phones. We thank you that we're not inanimate objects that just aren't anything, Lord, but we are your children. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you made us precious, each one of us. You love each one of us so special. Lord, you know the things in each of our lives that need a touch from you. Lord, you know each thing in each one of us that need that special touch. Lord, whether it's healing, Lord, whether it's a physical healing or a mental healing, maybe it's a relationship healing, maybe it's something to do with our job or work, maybe something we know, Lord, that you can heal us in that situation. Lord, you know us so much. Lord, I pray, Lord, that as we're coming out of this difficult time, Lord, but as you reset things around the world, as we may have had a personal reset, as we've had something, Lord, that you will be there in our lives. Lord, I pray that you will touch each one of us. You will be with each one of us as we go from here today, Lord. As you want to reach out to share your love around us, Lord, that as we grow in fruit of the Spirit, Lord, that we will see maturity in our lives, that we will reach more people, just as Matthew's friends were affected by him getting saved. Lord, that we want our friends to be affected because we're Christians. Lord, I pray that you be with us now. I pray you bless us, whether we're here in this room or whether at home on Zoom or watching, wherever we are, Lord, I pray that you be with us today. We ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you bless this mighty church. Lord, we pray you bless this church, this Spirit-filled church that's going to see mighty things happen. Lord, I just pray for it. I just see in people's hearts. I just see a feeling of, we're not important. How can we do this? We're not mighty. The fact is, you are mighty. I just feel God is saying today, you are mighty. You can do things that you can't imagine at the moment. He's going to use you to do something special. In this town, in the city of Southampton, this church is going to make an impact. And I feel some people are feeling, say, how can that be? How can that be? But the Holy Spirit is going to be empowering you to do mighty things. I mean, just go with what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Lord, yeah, and just speak into that word, Lord, that you would just come right now and fill afresh that this church is mighty and it's going to do mighty things for you, Lord Jesus. We ask this in your precious name.